So maybe we could just start in prayer. So, Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would just take control, Lord. Holy Spirit, we give you the control of this place. And, Lord, we pray that you just move in all your power to open up the understanding of our hearts. Lord, we want to hear you. We want to touch the hem of your garment. We want to feel you. Lord, you are the one that sets the captives free. You did it by the cross. And Lord, your love never fails. So Lord, we just want to set everything aside. We pray you release us from the busyness of this week, from all the things we've been thinking about and talking about and worrying about, that Lord, we can come aside with you into a safe place, into a place that we could feel your love. And we pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts through this whole time. We want to leave the world behind and come alone in the garden with you and hear your voice and feel your touch. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, a real delight for all of us to come up again. And, you know, it's great for Elaine and I to see all the happy faces, all you guys that we've had time with over the years. And a special delight because we got some of the team from Salt Spring Island, from Community Gospel Chapel. And they've come up to join us in the team. And some, of course, from Gabriola as well. And I thought maybe we'd start just introducing you, or getting each of the team members just to stand up and tell us a little about themselves. And I hope we get to know you a lot better through this weekend. So just go ahead, Barb, if you want to start. Pay attention to him. and I'm George. You know, it's funny, the first time I ever got involved with prayer ministry, I was invited to come. It was on Thetis Island at Camp Columbia. And I said yes. And then I thought, oh man, what am I going to do? And I don't want to have them mess with my mind. And I got all, but it was a good thing I was on an island because I couldn't get off. So I just walked with the Lord and found such a blessing, because the Lord will just give you good things. He's not going to take you where you're not ready to go, and neither will we. But the Lord is there for you if you want to walk deeper with Him. And He'll take you very gently and very powerfully and into freedom. The reality of prayer ministry is a ministry of prayer. It is not a counseling ministry. It's not a pastoral ministry. It's not, we don't have any therapies or formulas or anything else. But we do know the Lord, and we know the Lord sets us free. It's not going to rely on human wisdom. We're going to rely totally on the revelation of the Holy Spirit, because only God knows what He wants us to deal with. And only the Lord will move when we invite Him to do so and heal broken hearts and transform us, because that's what He died for. That's what He came for. And it's based on the deep, deep love of Jesus. The deep love of God, His desire is to see us live and move and have our being in Him, and not to be tangled up with all sorts of problems of life, or the brokenness we inherit, or the troubles that we've encountered on life's trail. Jesus desires us to be free. He said it all through His words, and that's what He wants. That's why I call it bound to be free. He's bound us to be free, because right away, you know, if you look in John's Gospel in chapter 8, his beautiful truths, he says, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." We're not slaves. We're true sons and daughters of God. Amen? That's who we are. And the Lord said further, "If you hold to my teaching, you're my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So if the truth sets you free, what keeps you bound? Lies. Lies keep us bound. And we believe those lies, and they become part of our being. But it's not who we are in Christ. You know, I listened to Tim Fletcher's talks as he came up here, and I think some of you probably attended, as he talked about the causal factors from complex trauma that lead to addiction. Well, although he had an excellent checklist of broken human behavior, one thing becomes apparent, and that is almost everything occurs because of incorrect identity. We don't know who we are. We don't know what our place is. And basically that identity crisis causes us to try and find identity all over the place. So I felt, as I was asking the Lord, how would you like me to share to begin with, it was to come to who we are first before we look at the areas that cause brokenness and why we don't accept who we are. So it's a little bit different, as you'll see that, because basically God yearned to show us that He was going to do something to transform us. He doesn't want to make us better. He wants to kill the old. You know, I used to say that, you know, He doesn't want to make you better. He wants to kill you. But he really wants to put the old to death, because He did at the cross. But way back with the prophet Jeremiah, He promised this. He said, "This is the covenant I'll make with the people of Israel. After that time, I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they'll all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And God was saying, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something radical to you. I'm going to change your mind and your heart. There's going to be something. It's just not going to be just gradual. It's going to be boom. I'm going to do something. He's going to do it in us. And then he said through the prophet Ezekiel, the same, something similar. He said, I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I'll remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And God was saying, I'm going to change you. You're going to be different. I'm going to take out the old and put the new in. And I'm going to give you a new heart. And I'm going to give you a new spirit. And that's going to be your driving force, because the driving force is going to come from within you, not from the outside, but from the inside out. And we are going to be motivated then to live differently and to be differently, because we are different. Amen? It's an exciting thing. And then he said through the prophet Joel in Joel 2, and afterwards I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on my servants, men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. These were promises that had gone on centuries before Jesus, that he was going to transform us. And we were not going to be the same. And of course, that transformation came at the cross. And when we in faith accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we became new creations. Amen? Look at each other and say, I'm a new creation. You are a new creation. And there's something radical about that, because once you were unworthy, once you felt orphaned, once you felt nobody, once you felt inferior, and now you're chosen and worthy and wanted and accepted and anointed and blessed. Amen? That's who we are. We are the righteousness of God in Christ, he says. I'm going to take away that old, and I'm going to give you something new in you. And that new in you is going to be him. And his spirit is going to drive us towards the likeness of Jesus. Because we're going to be transformed. We were transformed by the power of that cross. And now you have a new mantle on. Once you had a mantle on you of shame and guilt, but now you've got a new mantle of righteousness, of holiness, of love. You are new creations in Christ. You're a true son and daughter of God. That's who you are. You belong to him. He loves you. Once you weren't a people, now you're a people. Once you were nobody, now you're a royal priesthood, because you're anointed by God. Once you're in the pit trying to struggle and creep out, but now you're seated in the heavenly places with Christ. Isn't that a better place to look at your troubles? Isn't it better to be up in the heavenly place looking down at the troubles you go through in life than feeling you're in the pit struggling to get out? You see how important this is, a paradigm shift for us as humans. But that's what God wanted. And we'd be given new power and authority because God puts his Holy Spirit in us. When we proclaim the name of Jesus and accept him, the power of God comes into us. That's why we can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, because it's his power in us. And it's very important to realize that we're not trying to do this in our power, because his power is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. If it wasn't that way, you could make New Year's resolutions and you wouldn't need God. How many can put up with New Year's resolutions and make them work? Hands up. That's the answer. But God, He has transformed us. And the Lord tells us, He says, and you know, I had that overhead. Now, don't worry about looking at it, but I'm going to give you that handout. But reflect on who you are. Because through that, all the transformation of the cross is who you are now in Christ. And we're told in Romans 8, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. We have the Lord in us, Emmanuel. No temptation has seized you except that what is common to man. And God is faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He'll also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. Amen? Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And the Lord is saying, I have given you the power by my Spirit to change, to put to death the old. And I'd just like you to look at this next overhead. If you don't remember anything else I said, this is who you are. That's who you are. That's your daddy, and that's you. I want you to just let that get in your heart. Maybe you haven't had an earthly dad who came anywhere near that. But I want you to know that that is the starting place of the walk in wholeness. Let it get in your heart. He loves you unconditionally. He's holding you even now. Let the Spirit just come on you. Let Him reveal that to your heart. He loves you. He'll never let you go. People of the world, they'll let you go. But God will never let you go. That's who we are. But the thing is, you might say, well, I know that's who I am, but I don't feel it. I really don't feel that love. Why? Why is it that we don't accept who we are in Christ? The Lord tells us, because by one sacrifice He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. We have our treasure in a jar of clay. Now, some say a cracked pot. But anyway, we have this beautiful treasure, and the Lord showed me one time, it's like a lighthouse, and inside is the shining brightness and holiness of God, but it's shining out through us. We're like the glass. And the Lord says, hey, let's work together and clean this glass so more of the light can come out. So you can radiate more of the Lord's glory in your life. And you won't be enclosed. And the Lord gave us that beautiful passage. He said, look, I want you to do it with me. He says, come to me, you're weary and heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And many of you have felt really tired and really burdened and carrying quite a weight of life. And the Lord said, listen, I want to lift that. I want to join with you. I'm going to take that weight off your heart. I'm going to give you the freedom you yearn for, the peace inside. But in that, he wants us to co-labor with him. In that, he wants us to move. And all through the epistles, all through the letters of the New Testament are the encouraging words and exhortations that the Lord wants us to do. He says, put off your old self. Amen? In Ephesians 5. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. You know, it's dead. You died with Christ, buried with him, and rose up as a new creation. But if you entertain a dead thing, it stinks. You ever notice that? If you engage in that, things are bad. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world. By the Spirit, put to death the misdeeds of the body. You see, the whole issue is the Holy Spirit's just waiting for us to say, yes, Lord, change me. I don't want to carry on that way. Lord, I want you to do it in me. I surrender. I thought it was the best way, but it's not. And as we say to the Lord, yes, Lord, change me, the Holy Spirit starts moving and things happen. And it's a beautiful thing. And that, I think you'll find, is the journey that we're going to go on together, because we're no different from you guys. We've been through it too and still going through it, and you never end up stopping. It's like you're in a river and you're always carrying on, but there's something exciting at each stage and each bend. But the path is growing in the Spirit of God and growing in the likeness of Jesus, which is called sanctification and holiness. Wholeness. Not just healing. Wholeness. Healing's good, but wholeness is better. Amen? There's a passage that in that. And the area that we want to share with you through this weekend, you're going to hear testimonies from each of us on the team of our personal journeys. So this isn't just theory, it's reality. It's changed our lives and still changing us. And you're going to hear from, through the different talks, testimonies of our journey and how we struggled with something and how God met that struggle and transformed us and moved us on. And the reason we're here is because we were freely given. We want to give that out. We really want to share the loving grace of God with you, because there's a solution to all these things, and its name is Jesus Christ. Now, the issue is that although we're new creations in Christ, there's the old creation, the old dead nature. And basically, there's lies that come from the old tapes and the way we have thought. We got into strongholds of thinking and beliefs, and you're going to hear that and get revelation, because we want you to get the revelation from the Spirit of God. But there's vows you might have made about yourself. There's curses you may have said, which are words like laws that you put upon your life. I'll never be any good. No one will ever love me. These sort of things. You'll be hearing about that. Or I will never trust anyone again, especially in the church. These are like proclamations of truth, you see. And basically what happens is the brokenness that we are born into and grow all combine, and they fill in, so that basically, although The work of Christ is completed in us at the cross, yet we struggle because we still believe the old lies. We still act, if you want that analogy of we're changed to a butterfly, we're still crawling along like the caterpillar because we don't believe we're a butterfly. And how many of us don't believe that we're beautiful and lovely and wanted and cherished? And we can't come there because there's something in us from the old saying, no, you're not. You're not lovely. And those are the old lies that need to be put to death, and the Lord puts them to death. And of course, we have also a force that wants us to stay in the lies, Satan. We know that there was an angel, archangel, who was rebellious to God, and he left with a certain host, which we can call demons. They're always telling lies. You know, I know there's some deliverance ministries want to ask these demons what their name is, but why would you? They're all liars. So, you know, there's no sense asking what their name is. So the issue is, though, they will try and torment you with lies. That's how oppression works. It'll tempt you. I think of it as empowered temptation. You're constantly tempting you to think bad about yourself, bad about others, create suspicious tales, conspiracy theories, and so on. So we have to be on guard of that. That's always, Jesus said he's the father of lies. There's nothing in him that's true. He'll always try to convince you that you're a bum. So we have to be on guard. We know that force is going to come in. So we're going to have a flow from the old tapes of life, and we're going to get a flow also from the enemy. And therefore, it's one of those areas that we have to be on guard. This is why we need to walk with the Lord. Now, the important thing is we can be aware of, say, our bad behavior, but only God knows the source of it. You know, you might know that you're doing something wrong, but you don't know why you're doing something wrong. And you remember how the Apostle Paul said that too. He said, I don't understand what I do. Sound familiar? I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do, and what I hate, I do. And it's sort of like, wow, you know, but the force he was talking about, the old sin nature, was killed at the cross. But there still is the lies of the enemy encouraging us like a force. So it's like, wow, we still got part calling us. So the thing is, what we like to do, particularly in the ministry, is look at the bad fruit and go from the bad fruit to the root. Okay? So if you know where the source is, then the Lord wants to put an axe to the root. Because you can be picking the bad fruit all day, and guess what happens? Blip, comes out again. You take it off next Sunday at the altar, boop, back again. You're doing the same thing again. Overeating, boop. That chocolate cake sure looked good. Boop. See, this is the reality of that force, is like we're continually urged to do something we shouldn't. And there's we weaken and we get into it. But we need the power of God, because the blessing of the Holy Spirit is that he can reveal to us the source of where this started. And he is not confined by time. And he may take you to a place in your life that you had no idea that is where it started. And I want to share with you a testimony that Lane and I were praying with this young man in the ministry. And just as we began to pray with him, he fell on the floor in a fetal position and began to weep and cry. And we knew God was doing something. He was doing something sovereignly. We didn't know what that was. hadn't even talked to him, actually. And after a while, he settled down and he started sharing. And he said, what happened? He said, as soon as you started praying for me, I saw myself in the womb. And I saw a pair of scissors coming towards me. And he said, I knew they were trying to kill me. And he said, fear and terror came into my heart. And he said, that's something I've struggled with all my life. Well, that was an opening of a beautiful ministry, but only God could show him the source, amen? And that source went right back to a womb experience, which he got emotionally, even though his brain wasn't formed in the womb, but he understood. And you'll find that children in the womb will pick up the emotions of mom and what's going on around. So the Holy Spirit is the only one who can take us through the mists of time and push that away and take us to a place or give a revelation of a picture or something that will open up an understanding and give us a message and said, Lord, I want that dealt with. I want that healed. And it's a special thing that he does. And he'll use his word, because what we're going to do is have the team share things they get from the Lord. Now, they may be a word, they may be a picture, they may be a scripture, or they be a vision, and we don't know what they are. But the thing is, it may be a message for you, because the Lord says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through the Word of God. So if you, in turn, ask the Lord, if it touches something inside of you, these words, it may be a word for you that you need to keep asking the Lord about. And it may be the one that shows you the trigger point of what happened in your life. So be aware of those things. Now, they may not mean much to you when you get them. Like in one ministry, one of the ministers got a picture of a tennis racket. And the lady broke down in tears. It turned out that her sister was a tennis star and her parents had lavished all the love and praise on her sister. And she felt rejected and left out. And that whole thing broke because of a picture of a tennis racket. Who would have thought? You see, God will do that as we ask him. So the team, you'll get it too. And be open for it in the night, in dreams, or visions, or old memories, or things that'll come back to you that you have to pay attention to. And God will do that. So what we'll do after each talk, the team's going to just receive something from the Lord. We'll put it on these cards and put it out so at the breaks you can look at it and ask yourself if there's a message. You see, we're not going to tell you what to do because the Holy Spirit is going to be your teacher. And he will show you. We'll walk alongside you, but he's going to be the one that will guide you. There's no condemnation at all if you don't go forward in anything. So just rest assured, this is your time with the Lord. We're happy to be alongside you as you do it, but we're not pushing, and neither is he. But he's revealing, and he'll reveal truths to you. Because he tells us, and this is in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and we're going to share a bit more in the next talk. He said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. And the revelations of God will reveal to you, and it won't come through deductive reasoning. It'll come sovereignly by him. And you'll know in your knower what it is. And when you get that, go with it. So just so it may be new to some of you getting words and pictures like that, but just realize, ask the Lord, what is that? What does it mean? Does it have a meaning for you? If something bothers you inside, pay attention. Emotions are the best trigger point. Now, as he goes through that, we've got a little framework that might help you identify, because we'd like you to, as you get revelations from the Lord, jot it down. Make a note of it, because it's going to lead up to your prayer time. And so get a piece of paper and just jot down, you know, oh, I got the memory of this, or I've this scripture saying this to me, or that's for me, whatever that man or woman said, that's for me. And those things, keep a note of it. But one thing that'll help you is this next overhead, which is just something we've used in Wholeness to Christ, but it's looking at the damage in four areas. And one is area of wounds. Well, if you listen to Tim Fletcher, you heard all about wounds. But wounds, and you're going to hear talk about wounds, wounds are deep emotional damage. So wounds, then demonic oppression, bondages, which are going to come, and you're going to hear lots about how you get trapped in a bondage, and sins. Now, a good acronym is WEBS. And I like think of it as WEBS, because if you think of a web, you're invisible and you don't know you're in it until you're tangled up in it. So you might find yourself tangled in a web and you can't seem to get free. But you can start asking yourself, well, was there a wound? Or where am I bound? Or is there an enemy oppressing me? Or am I doing something wrong? Or is something wrong being done to me? We'll have more as we go through tomorrow, but just give you a sort of heads up. That might be a little framework you'd like to use. You don't have to use it, but it basically is a good guide for looking at this. But Holy Spirit will take you right to the area, and we'll pray. Now, the other exciting thing is that the Lord will reveal where these bondages and traps can come down your bloodlines. You may not have realized that, but things that happen in your mom's line or dad's line or grandparents can come down and be affecting you. You'll be hearing more about that. It's not that they force you to do it, but it again is temptation to go into the same weak area. So if you start realizing there's a pattern of brokenness that I'm doing, which dad did and his dad did, there's a good chance there's something coming down the family line. It doesn't matter if you were adopted or orphaned, you have bloodlines. And God knows what those lines are. So never think that you're a lone ranger. You're not. The reality is, if you look all through the Bible, you'll see how important God looked at the generations. Just look at the genealogy of Jesus. God looks at us generationally. And we're a blessing. We get many great things coming down our family lines, but there can be some baggage too. So be open to that as you go through. When you start listening, start thinking, well, is there something also that's come down? Was my family, my mom or dad like that? And so on. And you may start seeing a pattern that has come down to you that came down the bloodlines. The exciting thing is you have the authority to break that in the Lord Jesus. And we're going to be taking you through prayers that just cut off. So a blessing not only to be released yourself, but also your whole bloodline. And the Lord showed me one time, it's like cutting an elastic band and it snaps both ways, earlier and later. So boom, It's broken. So that's a wonderful thing. And as we go through it, we're going to go through, we'll have some exercises tomorrow to allow you to reflect on areas of brokenness in your own life, identifying where you got trapped in a habitual behavior pattern, and what any areas that might have come down through dabbling in the occult on a spiritual journey before you came to the Lord, and the holds they can have, the holds generationally that come down, the holds that can come from vows and curses, that laws we make to ourselves. So there's going to be a host of things, but basically in it, is these are just going to be to see if it's speaking to you. It's not spot it and stop it, okay? We're not looking for your sins and saying, stop it. The Lord is going to walk with you gently, but he's going to reveal to you the areas that have tangled you up. And through it, we're going to have time to share. And then in tomorrow afternoon, we're going to have that beautiful time to take it to the Lord and get it all dealt with. So he's not going to deal with everything. God knows what is bothering you now. It's like logs in the log jam. He's not going to remove all the logs, but he's going to remove the logs that cause the jam. And the flow of the Holy Spirit and life are going to take the other ones away. So it's not necessarily, and simply because you've come through hurts and that in your family, that does not mean you're affected. That's why we need the revelation of God to know, so that we're not presuming, assuming it's because of such and such. We don't want that. We don't want it to come from human assumption, just from revelation of God. So that's why we're going to be stressing the Holy Spirit and that function of really giving you understanding. And so that is basically where we've come to at the end of this talk. I just got time for a few questions, and we'll have a break for coffee. And then since we're talking about the revelations from God, we want to have the next talk on hearing from God. Because if you don't know how to hear from God, then how are you going to get the revelations from God? So we'll just have that time. So I don't know if anyone's got any pressing questions you want to ask, and or if the team want to share anything. Wow. No question. Okay. Thanks, Anna. Anyone have any questions at this stage? I know that, you know, it's sort of, wow. The main thing I'd like you to remember is that you and the Lord being hugged.
Sunday morning, and he wrote a little bit mind then was a fugitive. If he hasn't announced himself, he can kind of go about and do his thing. He can wreak his havoc and in very little danger of being taken captive. And what we talk about when asking the Holy Spirit to reveal these things, it's like a spotlight shines on that fugitive and you realize the damage that is being done. Then you take it captive and you take it to the...
Right.
And so I believe those concepts fit. We can't take captive what we don't know is harming us. And so asking the Holy Spirit, what would you have me take, you know, bring before the cross so that it could be taken captive and dealt with? I think it's a beautiful way to fit those concepts together in my mind, anyway.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, I remember one time sharing with the kids in the kids' ministry, and I was the lone stranger. They had a cowboy motif, and I had a big badge on, rode in a town like Clint Eastwood. And so I asked the Lord what to share with them, and they said, do you kids, any kids have bad dreams? So they put up, oh yeah, we have nightmares. I said, well, do you know you can be the sheriff and take them to jail? I said, because the Lord said you can take every thought captive. I said, wow, yeah, we can take it to jail. I said, yes, you don't have to be scared of bad dreams. You can arrest them, put them in jail. And one of the little boys, 2 weeks later, told his mommy he had a bad dream. And he said, well, what happened? He said, oh, nothing. I took it to jail. So, you know, it's wonderful how the Lord gives us these things. But, you know, ministering to children is another beautiful area, but you don't do it with a lot of Christianese. But it's the same truths and same reality. So let's just close. I'll just close in prayer. And then you can have a break for a coffee and then come on back and we'll hear about hearing from the Lord. So Lord, just pray you seal us now in Jesus' name and fill us with your love. And Lord, just release us now for a coffee. Amen.